Hey, Akshamla, Hosh Geldinis, and welcome to another ripping, gripping edition of Connections. And tonight we're going to start and finish with the Beach Boys. Now, this is a band I've been walking around the block and listening to quite a lot this last couple of weeks. And I've been really sort of, I had these albums on CDs when I was in my teens, and they were reissued in about 1990. And the album itself, Wild Honey, is only about 23 minutes long, so you could get two albums on a CD easily. I mean, 23 minutes for an album. I mean, there's some songs on as long as that on some Mike Oldfield albums. But anyway, this was an album that was bought out. It was kind of a return to basics, and it kind of heralded a return to basics for a lot of groups. You know, it was the beginning of the Beatles and the Stones and everything like that, sort of going back out of psychedelia. And this was particularly the Beach Boys sort of getting their own instruments instead of having session people playing for them. Because, they were just sort of sick and tired of being told that they couldn't do it. So they were saying that they could. They'd had Smiley Smile, which was a sort of Californian gothic thing. And one of my favourite albums, actually, but it was panned. It was recorded in Brian Wilson's emptied out swimming pool. It was kind of a bit meltdowny after Smile. And I think Brian was sort of fading into the distance. And there was a few things that sort of happened over the summer of 1967. There was going to be a live album that called Blade in Hawaii. See what they did there? Oh, they are wags. And, that didn't come out. And then the dad, Murray Wilson, had an album out called The Many Moods of Murray Wilson. That was a million seller. And, imagine having an album like that. And it was, the way it was recorded was in this sort of fold-down stereo. So, for years and years and years, it's like listening to it like this, and all of a sudden there's been a stereo release. It's like this, and you can hear absolutely everything, darling. And replete with congas, here is Wild Honey.
Someone hold my nose. Hold my nose. Just do it for me as this says you go.
That's so silly.
Squeeze.
You guys.
Please come, girls are here.
Oh, that's
how it used to sound.
Eat up, honey.
Apparently, Brian Wilson was inspired to realise Wild Honey because of a jar of honey on his shelf. Just imagine what sort of a different world we'd live in if it was like economy tea bags up there.
Pilkington's tea. The tea of inspiration. Here's Jimmy McCracken.
Well, I was drinking Pilkington's tea, which was lovely, and it inspired my haunting ballad, I Love You Baby, Yeah Yeah. So if you drink Pilkington's tea, maybe you'll be inspired to write a heart-wrenching ballad, or even a cha-cha.
Pilkington's tea, the tea of inspiration. Now available in dodecahedral bags.
BG,
what do you think of the show so far? Okay, yeah. Johnny Harris? What, the Johnny Harris? Okay, yeah, good call.
Talking about packaging, yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people say, you know, nice things come in small packages. I mean, I prefer to sort of look at it this way. I think nice things don't come in any packages at all. I mean, packages really do my head in. I mean, especially these days, I mean, come on, sort of glue things down and it's like, well, it's got to be safe in transit. When I take a sort of Exhibit A, you know, those disc batteries that you put in kitchen scales, I mean, they're really, I think Fort Knox has sort of consulted on the way that they're packaged. And I alone broke 3 fingernails in the last fortnight trying to get them out. I do actually use quite a lot of them because I have a different set of scales for meat and cheese and fish. A lot of people don't know that about me.
Some guy brought the same. People like a good package, and you know, I keep a sort of a backup supply of bubble wrap, and you know, one of my favorite ones is sort of scrunched up bits of brown paper. I do enjoy that, and I actually, you know, spend a lot of Sunday afternoons scrunching it up myself. And I actually enjoy scrunching it up so much that I don't tell anybody this, but I randomly sprinkle it out of the top of tall buildings and then do it all over again. It's great. Can't beat a good scrunch.
Hello, and welcome to the One Word Poetry Festival 1977 from Mansfield. We've got our 6 tape recorder crew here to capture the poetry as it happens. And what's this? I think something fruity's going on over in the food stage. Let's go and take a look. Ladies and gents, could you put your hands together, please, for Bernard Jupiter?
Oh, you can always rely on Bernard when it comes to juice.
There he goes. Apples. Ladies and gents, Bernard Jupiter, give him a big hand. He came all the way from Wolverhampton for that. Oh, yeah. And now, with something zesty. Who her, missus? Bernadette Peters, in brackets, not the actress.
Yeah, she was a little bit feisty, this one.
Lemons.
Ladies and gents, the lady needs no introduction. Bernadette Peters, not the actress, in brackets. We're going to take a 5-minute break on the food stage, but we'll be back with condiments at 2:05. In the meantime, if you'd like to grab an ice cream or a choc ice.
And we caught up with Bertrand Jupiter backstage. Bertrand, why do you think there's been such an upsurge in one-word poetry?
Well, Geoffrey, it makes poetry more to the point. I think one-word poetry is great for busy people who are on the go like me. I mean, I'm working shifts and, you know, don't get a long time to sort of eat out. And, you know, when you go out for your lunch, you want to be able to come back and tell your mates what you've been up to. Now I can go out and get a sandwich, sit down and knock off 4 one-word poems in a lunchtime and then get back to my shift. And like you say, well, what have you been doing? And like one says, oh, I went to the dry cleaners. And then another one says, oh, a bit peckish, so I went out to get a finger of fudge. And I can actually look at them and say, I went and wrote 4 one-word poems and got a cheese and tomato sarnie as well. And they call me the Bard of Wolves, you know. I mean, that's a good feeling.
Can't beat a good scratch.
dance.
Done it again. You put me on the spot with that poetry, aren't you? How's it go? The Polite Publican published in Penguin, put it in a pickle pot and posted it to Plymouth. Still Garrett.
This next band is something of a sort of French Jimi Hendrix experience, but they sort of took into their kind of canon Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and Frank Zappa and possibly a little bit of John Cage as well, sort of just put it into this maelstrom of sound. I think Chico himself was a lead vocalist. Chico sort of stylized himself as a lead singer. Sort of unfortunate name for this band when they first started. It was called Chico and the Slow Death, but by 1971 it had metamorphosized into Chico and the Magnetic Band, although I guess the fan response was a bit polar. We'll be right back.
I mean, packaging is... It's aesthetic. I mean, it's unnecessary. But I think if we're going to talk about necessary packaging, I think we need to put the packaging actually on the inside of the product. And since the product becomes the packaging, I think then, you know, the packaging, there is a weight for the packaging, and then it has a greater aesthetic purpose. Teenager got really into cardboard, and yeah, I sort of talked about it to my psychiatrist, and they said it's the corrugation. You're really into corrugated stuff. So I went round corrugating absolutely everything round the house. Cotton, you know, clothes. I mean, corrugated clothing is absolutely great. It's really strong, and people don't really corrugate enough stuff. But, you know, get into corrugation and, I think that's your life's problem sorted.
tea of inspiration. Here's Jimmy McCracken.
Welcome back to the One Word Poetry Festival here in Mansfield. And I can just tell you that over on the punk stage, there's a controversy. Zach Mucoid has just delivered his poem, Barbed Wire. But well, we're just about to hear from the judge, and his word on the matter is final. Mr. Mucoid, in reference to your one word poem, you delivered Barbed Wire, which is... Let me finish. It is a compound noun. And listen, shh. Not only that, it's a hyphenated compound noun, which is an issue we take very seriously in one word poetry. I will have to submit your poem to One Word House in Coventry for the final say in the matter. Tony, the punk correspondent, has caught up with him in the punk tent after that verdict.
Mr. Mucoid, how do you feel about the decision?
I don't care. It's breaking new ground. That's punk, isn't it?
But he's gone to headquarters in Coventry.
Oh, well, dunno. Yeah, I'm scared. I mean, this just illustrates the need for hyphenated compound noun empathy, which just isn't there, pal.
He was annoyed because I didn't say that he had written one line of this song, Taxman.
Mm.
But...
Did you tell him that?
Well, I didn't, because he was already dead after that. But the point to that was that I also didn't say how I wrote two lines to Come Together or three lines to Eleanor Rigby. You know, I wasn't getting into any of that. I think in the balance, I would have had more things to be niggled with him about than he would have with me.
Door.
Still Garrett.
That must have been quite difficult, I guess, in the days of the USSR to sort of break into rock and roll. And this group, spelt Kaya with a Q, Kaya, yeah, I mean, however you say it, but it's pronounced Gaia. Anyway, I think back in the day, what happened was the process was you were invited to come and perform for the state orchestra of the Azerbaijan Social Socialist Republic Broadcasting Company. And then, I don't know, do a version of Jesus Christ Superstar. I think that's what happened. I mean, that seems to have broken so many people, that musical. But yeah, it's the Azerbaijani Fab Four, Tamar, Arif, Ralph and Lev. They're seemingly recorded in Spanish, Polish, Russian, Azerbaijani, English and Japanese, Italian and Serbo-Croat, I think, just to be on the safe side. But this is called Amanya.
Well, I thank the Lord for packaging, because what I do, I'm right forgetful and I don't make any shopping lists because well, I haven't got pens, don't like the packets they come in. So what I do is, my packets, I put them into a bag. I clean them first, Cass, you know, when I've used them. Put them into a bag and then take it with me when I go to the supermarket so I can see what I've actually used. So it's very useful. The only thing is, you've got to remember to take them out when you've actually replaced them.
Well, when I was young, my parents actually banned any packaging that wasn't made by the BBC.
We live by an aesthetic where packaging represents everything. And so to keep up with the vogue, what I've started to do is actually eat the packaging. So, you know, I'll buy a chocolate bar and I'll eat the wrapper. It's got to be edible, of course, but...
I believe.
know, I keep a sort of a backup supply of bubble wrap.
Welcome back again to the One Word Poetry Festival. And there's something for everybody here. And for the slightly avant-garde stage, we're listening to Tilly MacPherson and the East Retford Well Women's Guild performing John Cage's Elongated. This piece actually lasts for 13 years, 6 months, 14 days, 16 minutes and 27 seconds. But this weekend, these feisty 18 women have been given special permission by the board of One Word Poetry to perform an abridged 3-day, 5-hour, 37-minute, 18-second version for exhibition purposes. I managed to speak to Tilly in between contributing to the piece.
Well, you know, we started at 6 sharp last night. So we've been going for 18 hours now, and I'm proud to say that at 11:09 this morning, we actually shifted to the second syllable of Elongated. So I'm looking forward to a whole afternoon of oh.
That's the spirit. Well, just would you believe that? I just said there was an arrest this afternoon of a streaker from the One Word Pressure Group, hyphenated. What an end to the day. Dearie me, tomorrow we're going over to the bathroom tile stage. But from Mansfield this afternoon, it's goodbye and au revoir.
At 11:09 this morning, we actually shifted to the second syllable.
Well, that
just about wraps up another gripping edition of Connections. Stick around for Simon and Leo's show, and they'll entertain you for the next hour. I was entertained last week by Leo singing a rendition of the very theme tune of this programme. So just to return the favour, this is for you, Leo. Tighten up. Move to the left. Move to the right. Tighten up now. Tighten up now. With Simon and Leo. It's pretty loose, but you get the idea. Anyway, keep calm, keep safe, keep relatively virus-free, and keep connected. Good night.